centre at 6. Labour says it's been left disappointed by the Prime Minister's refusal to compromise in talks aimed at breaking the Brexit deadlock. Shadow Secretary for Leaving the EU, Sir Keir Starmer, has been speaking after a third day of discussions.
So far, the government isn't proposing any changes to the deal. In particular, it's not countenancing any change to the actual wording of the political declaration. Now, obviously, that's disappointing. Compromise requires change.
Meanwhile, Theresa May's found herself at odds with the European Council over how long Brexit should be delayed for. She wants until the end of June at the latest, but Donald Tusk is suggesting an extension of around a year. Relatives of 21 people killed in two pub bombings in Birmingham in 1974 are demanding new criminal investigations. An inquest jury has found a botched call by the IRA to warn people about the devices had caused or contributed to the deaths because the phone was faulty. Julie Hambleton lost her sister.
The inquest has brought to light new evidence. West Midlands Police have always told us when they get new evidence, they will act on it. Well, here you go. You have the new evidence. And I'm sure there is more to be had and more to be found.
A 25-year-old man has admitted murdering a young woman at a flat in Leeds. Poppy Davy Waterhouse, who was 24, died after being stabbed last December. Joe Atkinson's been remanded in custody ahead of sentencing next week. 9 Brunei-owned luxury hotels that faced a backlash over the country's new anti-gay laws have deleted their social media accounts. George Clooney is among the celebrities calling for a boycott of those owned by the country. It seems WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange won't be leaving the Ecuadorian embassy, where he's been since 2012, just yet. The embassy is playing down reports suggesting he could be kicked out soon. And in sport, Liverpool are on a good run going into a game that could see them return to the top of the Premier League this evening. They're unbeaten in their last 13 matches in all competitions ahead of their visit to Southampton. That's the latest. I'm Emma Jones.
Portsmouth weather with Pure Services, your one-stop shop for cleaning, waste and removal services. Find us on Checkatrade.
Light drizzle and a moderate breeze across Portsmouth throughout the night with lows of 5 degrees. The weekend looks much better though, with plenty of sunny intervals and highs of 14. And if you're heading to the Pompey game at Wickham tomorrow, it's going to be a cloudy one with highs of 12, lows of 6 and a fair bit of wind also expected.
93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Out Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
It's back to business for Pompey as the reality of league football is set to hit hard. On Sunday, Captain Fantastic Brett Pittman held the Checkatrade Trophy aloft in front of over 41,000 Blues fans. But this weekend, normal service resumes with the League One away day from Wembley to Wickham. This evening, we'll be previewing tomorrow's trip to Adams Park. Can Pompey continue their impressive run of form back into the competition where it really matters? One man who would definitely hope so is the gaffer, Kenny Jackett, who was pleased with his performance on Sunday, but knows that the Blues can't stop pushing now.
You know, a high number of wins this year and we've been pleased with that, but none necessarily come easy. And if we want to win on Saturday, it won't come easy either.
We'll also hear from both Jamal Lowe and Nathan Thompson later in the show too, with the duo still in high spirits, but remaining grounded.
There was no thought process at all. It was just all emotions just coming out all at once.
Tonight we want to know who comes in and who goes out of your Pompey starting 11 for tomorrow's trip to Wickham. And we also want your thoughts on whether or not you think the Blues will gain automatic promotion with only 7 games to play. And it's also the 121st birthday of Portsmouth Football Club. So this evening we will be going through your favourite living memories to celebrate their birthday. Text the word EXPRESS to 81400, followed by your name and message. Email pompey@expressfm.com or tweet us at expressfm. So sit back, relax and get comfy, because it's time once again for the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7.
Express FM.
Good evening and welcome once again to the Friday Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM. This season, sponsored by Stagecoach Buses. And whilst on the subject of Stagecoach, actually, you've got to applaud their dedication to Pompey. They've had their messages on the front of their buses congratulating the Blues on their Checkatrade Trophy final throughout the week. So huge, you know, big up to Stagecoach Buses for that message on all of their buses. And speaking of that final, actually, let's revisit, shall we? What better excuse to take a listen back to that magnificent day out at Wembley Stadium? So let's do it. 2:30, Sunday the 31st of March, Pompey took on Sunderland in the Checkatrade Trophy final under the arch. Commentary comes from Andy Moon, Guy Whittingham and special guest Danny Rose.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey
What
Live.
A sight. What an amazing view we have here at Wembley Stadium. It is split perfectly half and half between blue and white and red and white. And there's a wonderful anticipation with the players just about to make their way out onto the playing surface. And it's going to be Brett Pittman making his first appearance at Wembley who is going to get us underway. We just wait for the referee to get the nod. The whistle's blown. We are underway in the Checkatrade Trophy final. Scottish-born Republic of Ireland international Aidan McGeady is standing over it here at Wembley. Three-step run-up. Over the wall, deflected and into the back of the net. And Aidan McGeady has given Sunderland the lead. A near perfect free kick. McGilvery couldn't get across over the wall. And with 7 minutes to go into the interval, it's Portsmouth 0, Sunderland 1. It's been coming. Clark driving to the area. Clark laying it off. Chipped in by Evans for the far post. Thompson arriving. He takes the back of the net. Nathan Thompson. What a time for your first Portsmouth goal. He celebrates in front of the Pompey fans. Portsmouth knocking on the door, 6.5 minutes left of extra time, 1-1 still the score. Long ball to Jamal Lowe to chase, Lowe brings it down, Lowe could be in, Jamal Lowe over the goalkeeper, into the back of the net, Jamal Lowe rips his shirt off in celebration, 40,000 Pompey fans go wild, it looks like Jamal Lowe has won the Checkatrade Trophy for Portsmouth, it's Pompey 2, Sunderland 1. Can he get the shot away? McGeady, a great chance. Clark, he can't keep it out. It's into the net. And Sunderland have equalised in the 119th minute. Aidan McGeady, Matt Clark on the line, thought he'd done enough, but he hadn't. And Portsmouth celebrations are cut short. And it looks like we will head towards penalties here at Wembley. And the final whistle is blown by Dean Whitestone, the referee. It's been a pulsating 2 hours of action. We are going to go to penalty kicks to decide the winner of the Checkatrade Trophy final. Here we go. Penalty shootout. The whistle blows. Aidan McGeady is first up against Craig McGilvery and he rolls it into the bottom corner and scores. Gareth Evans to take right-footed for Portsmouth. Steps up and scores just through the goalkeeper. One penalty each, one all. And it is Lee Catamol, Sunderland stalwart, who right-footed is saved! McGilvery saved to his left! First blood to Portsmouth in the penalty shootout. Lee Catamol's effort is saved. Brett Pittman to take Portsmouth's second right-footed scores. Good penalty, comfortably into the corner. Looks like Lyndon Gooch is going to step up and take the third penalty for Sunderland. Against McGilvery, scores, great penalty, into the roof of the net. No one is going to save that. What a strike from Gooch. Lee Brown takes. He is going to put his foot through it, Lee Brown. 2-2, Brown scores! Drills it down the middle. Three penalties each, 3-2 to Pompey. Here we go then, Sunderland's fourth penalty. It's going to be struck. It'll be a right-footed effort. Here we go for Sunderland into the back of the net. They have their third goal, but they've had four attempts. Here's Jamal Lowe. He'll have to put the ball in his spot. McGilvery will have to come out the area in front of the Pompey fans, who go silent and still and motionless as Jamal Lowe comes forward. Jamal Lowe will strike it with his right foot. McLaughlin all on the line. Lowe scores away to McLaughlin's right. So we're into sudden death for Sunderland. They must score and Portsmouth must miss, or Portsmouth have won the EFL trophy. McGilvery on his line, dancing around. Eyes on Michael Gray on the screen again. Here we go. Steps up. Stutters scores into the back of the net. And Sunderland have at least forced Portsmouth to take their fifth. Portsmouth score this. They win the EFL trophy. Ollie Hawkins is the man with the penalty and the chance to win it. He steps up, back. He'll hit it right-footed and he'll score! And Portsmouth have won the EFL trophy. They win it 5-4 on penalties. Ollie Hawkins is the hero. Pandemonium in the Pompey end to our right. The players will run out and leap and celebrate in front of them. As you imagine, a wonderful moment for the 41,000 here. Portsmouth have won 5-4 on penalties.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
So there we have it then. Those were the highlights of Pompey's Checkatrade Trophy final win over Sunderland at Wembley on Sunday afternoon. And two men who I'm very sure will have fond memories of that day are sat opposite me right now in the studio. First of all, I'd like to welcome in a man who has not missed a Pompey game since 1979. He's seen it all. Promotion to the top flight, an FA Cup win, another FA Cup final, and also all the lows as well. Successive relegations to League Two, and almost, but fortunately not, non-league football. I mean, there's most likely plenty more that this man has witnessed, but those days were way before my own birth, and we could only be sat here for hours listening to absolutely everything. A very good evening to Johnny Westwood.
Good evening, Jake. Nice to be here.
Thank you for joining us. It's great to have you in the studio with us this evening. And alongside John, we have Frankie Rudland, commentator for the Pompey Audio Description Service. Frankie, also, thanks for coming in this evening.
Cheers for having me.
No problem whatsoever. John, we'll start with you. It's been around, 40 years this year, as I mentioned, since you last missed a Pompey game. And you really have seen it all. But what would you say is the all-time best moment or best game, or perhaps it's not even a game, just a moment that you have seen and witnessed throughout those 40 years?
Oh, well, throughout the 40 years, it's got to be, even though it wasn't the best game, being to the Cup Final 2008, to win the major domestic honour, something we thought Pompey would never win again, with the emergence of the Premier League and the big clubs just winning everything. And every year, I've always watched the FA Cup, and then to finally be there and to win it, it was just unbelievable. That has got to be the most magical moment.
Yeah. Now, Frankie, like myself, you won't have remembered half as much as John here, but today does mark the 121st anniversary of the club. It does only seem fair that we spend a bit of time remembering some of our club's highest times. Which of those has been your favourite and why?
There's two that stand out for me. The first one is our semi-final win against Tottenham at Wembley. That was just amazing because, again, we were underdogs in the FA Cup special competition, going through to the final, and of course getting one over Harry Redknapp as well, which always feels good. The second one's got to be Joel Ward's equaliser against Southampton at home, because again, underdogs, amazing occasion. I was sat actually in the south stand right by the Southampton supporters, so it was even more special hearing them go silent when he I think it was beat Guli Prado to the ball and headed in.
I think for me it's got to be the League 2 promotion at Notts County just 2 years ago. You know, after everything that happened to the club prior to that, it was nice to see finally us back on our feet and winning something, you know. I may have been technically around when the likes of Robert Prozinecki, Teddy Sheringham, Lasana Diarra, Matty Taylor were all tearing up for Pompey. But by the time I was actually old enough to, A, remember and B, start really getting into the spirit, it was around about 2007-2008 when, bar the FA Cup runs, things began really going downhill for us. John, we mentioned Pompey now back on the up, promotion from League 2, winning the title as well, but they also won the Checkatrade Trophy on Sunday. The tournament's got its critics for reasons that we won't really go into anymore, because quite frankly it's done and dusted, it's over, we've completed it. But nonetheless, it's got to be up there now with one of the highs as a Blues fan.
Well, it's got to be for the sheer occasion, for the sheer amount of Pompey fans, and again, a point you touched on, just the fact that Portsmouth are back, all the difficulties we've had winning the Championship, fan-owned with the Eisners, and now we've got a bright future coming up. We've got the owners off the pitch, we've got the right manager, we've got players coming in. We've got proposed developments of the ground to look forward to, and to just to prove that we can get 40,000 fans at Wembley. And we've been there five times. We had a boycott of the competition, and we're a small city, and we still sell out within 8 days. It's just it just shows the potential and the passion of this football club. It never ceases to take my breath away, and just to be part of that Blue Army is an honour.
It makes you feel proud, and it's not only the numbers that followed Pompey on Sunday, John, but also the noise that they made. No disrespect to Sunderland, they had a long journey, and they turned up in their numbers as well, but I think we completely dominated them on that front.
Oh, we did. We dominated Wembley on the atmosphere front. They dominated Trafalgar Square, so at the end of the day, there's no comparison.
You know what one you'd rather walk home with.
Exactly.
Frankie, the day out, the atmosphere, the numbers following Pompey that we've mentioned, but also the most dramatic game of football that, well, I at least have seen live, you know, with my own eyes. And then to end it all, a trophy to send everyone home happy. Put all those together, it's a fantastic day out, and one that no one really at the end of the week will really care what competition it is.
No, exactly. It's a special day, and a special day for the club. I said when Sunderland came to Fratton Park earlier on in the season, it's a fixture we should be involved in. That is an old Premier League fixture. Those crowds, those attendances, those matches we should be involved in, Portsmouth Football Club. So it was amazing to just be amongst the conversation again with massive teams like Sunderland, massive clubs. Selling out Wembley and really just getting ourselves back out there again to the country, because obviously we've been down in League One for so long, and it's just another high and we're on the way up. So
it's good to show the rest of football that we're back, and all the negative things that we had surrounding us years ago, now it's all full of positives. And we also showing everyone that clubs can, you know, fans can buy clubs and take them forward. So what Pompey's done is a beacon of light for every team in the country.
It's fair to say that moment on Sunday could possibly go down as an underrated point in Pompey's revival back up, hopefully to the top tier of English football over the next few years, as well as obviously the promotions that will follow to get there. Those were the thoughts of Frankie and John in the studio this evening, but we also want to hear from you back home, the Pompey fans. Who do you want to see line up against Wickham at Adams Park tomorrow afternoon? Can you see either one of Barnsley or Sunderland dropping off and having a poor end to the season? And if so, do you have faith in Pompey capitalising and snatching second place? We're also after your favourite ever Pompey moments, as we look to build as many of your memories to celebrate the 121st anniversary of the club. And Mr. Pompey himself is in the studio this evening. John Westwood joins myself and Frankie Rudland until 7. So if you have a question for him, be sure to get in touch with us before it's too late. 81400 is the number to text. Start your message with the word Express. Email Pompey at expressfm.com or find us on Twitter at ExpressFM. We're going to go to a short break first, however, and after which we'll hear from Blues boss Kenny Jackett. And with automatic promotion recently slipping out of his side's hands, I follows Johnny Moore question McGaffer's ambitions for the season.
You know, if there's any slip-ups, we have to be there and ready and waiting. If not, we want that third or fourth spot so that, you know, we can get the second leg of the playoffs at home in Fratton Park. So, you know, so there's plenty to go for.
So stick around, because the Football Hour continues in just a few moments right here on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Football Hour right here on 93.7 Express FM. This evening, I'm joined by Johnny Westwood and Frankie Rudland until 7 o'clock. As ever, we are sponsored by our friends at Stagecoach Buses, who offer cheap and reliable bus fares across the south of England with student day riders at just £2.50. Now, before we break, I asked you back home to get involved this evening by asking for your selected lineups for tomorrow's game at Wickham, as well as your score predictions too. I also asked on the birthday of Portsmouth Football Club for your favourite memories following the Blues over the years, whether you are, like Pompey, 121 years old, or maybe only young like me and Frankie. We want to hear all of your best moments. And Johnny Westwood is in the studio this evening. I'm sure he's ready to answer any questions you have for him too. Text us, 81400 is the number to type in. Start your message with the word Express. Email Pompey at expressfm.com or tweet us at expressfm. A tweet I've seen doing the rounds this week from Luke Ellis, who says, "We should be so grateful that Sunderland took us to extra time last Sunday. Superb practice for 120 minutes we'll have to play at Wickham." Well, we've got no idea what on earth you could be implying there, Luke. We do, really. And I'm sure that every Pompey fan tuning in tonight is very much looking forward to a difficult game tomorrow afternoon at Wickham. OK, before the break, we heard briefly from Kenny Jackett. Our follows Johnny Moore spoke to McGaffer about how he is able to bring the squad back down to earth after a momentous win on Sunday.
Yeah, first off, we've got to say well done to the players for Sunday. That's important. And, you know, again, as with any win, try to take the confidence out of it, which is, you know, it's hard. It's a big part of football. And, you know, we should be confident after that type of performance. But confident, not complacent. Make sure that we don't just think we can turn up and win football matches. Realise how difficult the division is, and always pay the opposition respect, and make sure that we know to earn any points in this league we have to work very, very hard. And you know, we've had a high number of wins this year, and we've been pleased with that, but none necessarily come easy. And if we want to win on Saturday, it won't come easy either, and we know that. So you know, we've talked a lot, we've talked about that balance, we've made sure physically we're right, but mainly you need to get right your attitude, your approach to things. And that's where we'll be, you know, really drumming it into the players between now and Saturday, that attitude has to be right at Wickham.
Just to go back to Sunday, though, for the committed, it wasn't great for the blood pressure. For the neutral, it was a great football match.
It was, and a great advert for the league, and quite a unique game with the size of the clubs and how tight it's been between the two clubs this season, you know, vying for promotion to the Championship. So, you know, obviously some atmosphere occasion, you know, total one-off, one to be enjoyed, thrived on, and we're delighted in you know, what was a game that swung one way than the other. We came out as a winners, albeit very narrowly on penalties, you know. But yeah, we're delighted. We're delighted with the day. We're delighted with having won it. We hope it can be a stepping stone in you know, a continued growth of the club.
How do you lift the players when you've come to that sort of end of that 90 minutes and you've been so close, but you've got to go again?
Yeah, you have to be honest with them about, you know, what they need to do. I did feel that, you know, we were playing well at that stage and just made probably, I think, you know, towards the end, one tactical mistake. But McGeady's good enough to, you know, put the ball away. That's a big one, and you know, he has a lot of quality, and you know, they punished us in that moment. But generally, the flow of the game was going okay. Our game plan was working, and we just needed more of the same to try to continue. And then after that, you need resilience and you need character in football. You know, they're underestimated qualities, because you know, we're always looking for you know, pure footballing ability, but there's been many more things that goes towards being a successful and a winning team. And resilient and durable and determined are, you know, big qualities.
Kenny Jackett there speaking to iFollow's Johnny Moore following Pompey's Checker Trade Trophy final win on Sunday, and looking ahead to tomorrow's trip to Wickham as well. And that's something that the three of us here in the studio will be doing shortly here on Express FM. We'll also hear the final part of that Kenny Jackett interview at around about 10 to 7 this evening. Some text, tweets and emails coming in then. Andy Mitchamore says, I'm going 2-1 Pompey, starting with a lineup we finished with on the final on Sunday. In regards to my favourite moments, everyone's going to send the same ones, but the Division 1 win, the FA Cup win, the AC Milan game, of course, as well, and League 2 promotion, and also he puts League 2 win, as well, against Cheltenham. A lot of ups and downs, John, over the last, you know, 20 years or so, or 10 years or so in particular for the Blues, but in regards to the game against AC Milan at Fratton Park, have you ever seen an atmosphere quite like that?
It was just incredible. It was a typical Pompey night. I mean, the whole ground, the whole second half, it's just that's just what Pompey's all about. That's what the club's been built on. And it just never ceases to amaze me, the passion of the club. I mean, that's why I was attracted to it in the first place. If I'm honest, it wasn't for the football, it was for the passion, it was for the singing and the belonging and being part of something special and to be part of that Blue Army. And just Pompey, just fans, are on their day, no one can touch them. No one can touch. It's just brilliant. The club is just wonderful.
That's a question coming in, actually. How did you get into following Pompey?
Through the passion of the fans. It was just my first game at home was 76, and my mate was a Titchfield, John Parrott, and everyone was taking the mickey out of him, and all Man United, Liverpool, that sort of stuff. and Pompey were in not doing well, and I went down to watch Pompey v Brighton on Boxing Day, and I was just blown away. There was 32,000 there, and it was just I was in awe.
Yeah.
And I had a life-defining moment, and I knew from then that's what I wanted for the rest of my life. It just hit me like a bolt out of the blue. Mm.
And something that I'm sure that has been passed down to many young Pompey fans over the last, you know, 40, 30, 20 years or so as well. And back to Sunday's final, Frankie, we'll touch on it a little bit. It was a great decision by Kenny, actually, to change things up in the second half. He brought Evans on for Curtis around about the 56th minute, and also Hawkins on for Bogle a short while later. How great were those substitutions made by Kenny? Because it really did shape the second half in our favour.
It did, and the first half I thought we did what we did against Luton and also against Charlton. We sat far too deep, and we almost gave them a lot too much respect to come at us, and didn't respect ourselves enough to come out and play against them. So when Hawkins came on, he just held the ball up for us and allowed people like Pittman, Evans, Lowe to get around him, and we really started playing and found our way into the game. So it was massive. Without those substitutions, the game would have slipped away from us, definitely.
It was a dramatic game, John. Was there ever a point during that, you know, 200 minutes or so of football that you thought, actually, I think we could lose this?
Obviously the first half, yeah. I mean, I thought we... But the second half, we grew stronger, and as Frankie just pointed out, Kenny Jackett made a tactical... He's tactically brilliant.
Yeah.
I know people say he's not this and he's not that, but look at his record, look what he's done with Wolves and Mill. He knows this division inside out. But you could see us getting stronger, and I thought we had the rest of the game, really. But when it came to the penalties, it's a lottery, as penalties are. But what fantastic penalties.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, the nerve and the... And as for Jermaine Lowe's lob, I mean, that was... To be in 85,000 after playing in front of the crowds we played, and to do that and to have the coolness and calmness just to do it was just... Wow.
He seems to... He likes a chipped goal, doesn't he, Frankie? I mean, you remember back to Notts County when he scored that third goal. That was a chipped goal over the keeper. Checkatrade Trophy final on Sunday. It appeared to be the winner. It didn't end up being the winner, of course, but he steps up to the big occasion, Jamal Lowe, and he's a great player. And unfortunately for us, his performance on Sunday was a great advert for teams, you know, in higher divisions that may be looking at our players.
No, you're absolutely right, and he does step up to the big occasions. That's what makes a good player a great player, because they thrive in those big games. And I remember Notts County when he went through on goal, the coolness to just chip the keeper and make it 3-1 and seal the lead. And then on Sunday, especially into extra time, you know, the legs are tired, the mind's tired, and he's got that calmness to just take it round his man and lob the keeper. But definitely, team, if we don't go up this season, I think that is probably one of the main threats to us, is losing players like Curtis, Clark, what would have been Watbourne, but he's now injured, and Jamal Lowe. So this run-in is crucial for us and crucial for keeping the squad together.
It is crucial, and it's something we're going to touch on shortly here on Express FM. Text in from, well, there's no name on this, but they say, one of my favourite times was when we played Tottenham in the Cup and we finally beat them on the third time of asking with a Noel Blake goal, 1-0. John, you're nodding your head furiously. You remember that one?
Yeah, great night.
Yeah.
Big crush around the back of the Milton then with fans and stuff. Everyone trying to get in. It was just... Nah, and big old Noel Blake comes up and does the biz. Absolutely brilliant.
Way before my time. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us here in the studio. You can start your message with the word Express FM at 81400. Email pompey@expressfm.com or tweet us at ExpressFM. Now, emotions obviously ran high on Sunday, but now we return to League One action, and there are two men who will be up for the challenge as Pompey face off with Wickham tomorrow afternoon.
It was such an emotional day on Sunday, and then you come in sort of Tuesday, and I wouldn't say it's forgotten about, but you kind of have to move past it. And it, in all effect, the Wickham game becomes an even bigger performance.
Hear what Pompey duo Jamal Lowe and Nathan Thompson, who scored both of Pompey's goals at Wembley on Sunday, had to say right after this break as the Friday Football Hour continues.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
I'd like to say a very warm welcome back to the Friday Football Hour here on Express FM, but the reality of it is someone has put the aircon on in the studio and it is absolutely freezing. Nonetheless, the show must go on, and this season we are proudly sponsored by Stagecoach Buses. Need to get in and around the city without a fuss? Then hop on a Stagecoach bus. They offer cheap and reliable bus journeys across the great waterfront city and beyond, with adult day riders at £4.10 if you download their app on the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store as well. We've only got around half an hour of the show left tonight, so if you haven't got in touch, then you better sort it out now. Who would you like to see start tomorrow's game at Wickham? And what are your favourite Pompey memories in their 121-year existence? And what is your prediction for that game at Adams Park? One tweet coming in already. Kyle Banbury says 23 minutes of added time. No score prediction, just a prediction for the added time tomorrow against Wickham. You can start your text with the word Express. Send those over to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com or tweet us at expressfm. Before we get to any of those, however, let's hear from that interview with Jamal Lowe and Nathan Thompson. Our fellows Johnny Moore caught up with the pair after their Checker Trade Trophy win last weekend and first asked Thompson how it felt netting at Wembley.
Yeah, no, it's perfect setting, perfect occasion for it. I think it's been long overdue, if I'm honest. 70 games or something is probably not good enough return, if I'm truthful. But yeah, to get on the score sheet and take it to extra time is a perfect feeling. But then also the thought of we've got another 30 minutes of this as well. So it's a lovely feeling. It's fantastic to have all my family there as well to see it and to take in the occasion as well. So yeah, really enjoyed it.
Jamel, we could see your emotions as well. You knew where you were going, didn't you?
Yeah. The emotions took over. Obviously, it's a massive day. The honour alone to play on the pitch and then to score there, which I thought was the winner at the time. There was no thought process at all. It was just all emotions just coming out all at once, and it's just a lovely, lovely feeling.
Where the goalie was, the goalie came out, he made your mind up for you, really, didn't he?
Yeah, cool. If he doesn't come out, then I've got to do something else. But he came out, and I thought, why not? I'll give it a go. If it goes in, it looks great. If it doesn't, it wasn't the easiest of chances anyway, so like it's kind of a lose-lose. Not a win-win, sorry.
Not the fact that you took your shirt off, but what you were wearing under it that people were questioning.
Oh, yeah, I've had a lot of questions saying, is it a bra or anything? But it's the GPS that we have to wear every game. It tells you how far you've run on that and your heart rate. So that's what answers all the questions.
And listen, as ridiculous as it is, worth a booking, isn't it, for that moment?
100%, yeah, 100%. As I said, if I would have scored again, I would have done it again and got sent off. Do you know what I mean? It was just one of those things, there's no rational thinking when that happens. Like, there was no sense, there was no common sense in there. It was just all emotions taken over.
Nathan, you actually owe Holly Hawkins something, don't you, as we all do, because you'd have been next up.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, Hawks went about his way. When the gaffer was asking who wants to take him, he sort of quietly put his hand up. He didn't really, it wasn't the most convincing, if I'm honest, but he got up there and he looked as cool as you like, slotted it away. And he said he'd watched the keeper for all the four penalties previously and see the way he'd dived and sort of made his mind up. He knew where he was going as soon as he stepped up. And as I say, thankfully, it meant that I didn't have to take one. And I thought I'd give him the limelight as well, didn't we?
Back down to earth now. How do you come back down to earth? There's a promotion challenge and, you know, it's there to win.
Yeah, it's a slightly surreal experience in the sense that it was such an emotional day on Sunday, and then you come in sort of Tuesday and I wouldn't say it's forgotten about, but you kind of have to move past it. And in all effect, the Wickham game becomes an even bigger performance, in a sense that that's the ultimate aim at the start of the season. Checker Trade's nice, but everyone would have swapped that experience on Sunday for promotion at the end of the season. So we have to go to Wickham, as cliche as it sounds, but professional head on. And you saw the way that Sunderland bounced back yesterday, convincing winner at Accrington. We have to go and perform in the same manner.
Jamel, what can this do for your season?
I think we can take confidence from the high pressure that all the boys dealt with. There'll be times where we might go a goal behind or bad things happen, you get a man sent off quite early doors, but we can show that we can come out the other side of those situations. And to concede in the last minute of extra time and then still have the same mindset to go and score our penalties, I think that'll help us later on in the season. Plus, if we have to go there again in the playoffs, which is not ideal, but if we do, we've kind of got that experience, that big crowd experience that possibly not the other teams have had, unless it's going to be Sunderland again. So I think it'll do us some good.
At one stage in your career, you might have quit. Sometimes you make the right decisions, don't you?
That's it, yeah. I'm glad I didn't, because that's probably the highest moment in my career so far, so thankful that I didn't quit.
And of course, a promotion challenge still to be won.
Yeah, of course, that was the main aim of the season, promotion. Getting back down to earth was pretty quick, pretty easy, because the game was on the Sunday, and Monday I was up at 6 a.m. watching Peppa Pig with my daughter. So it kind of just shows you that is done now, and this, you got to just get your head back onto real life and
real life is family life at home and getting promotion on a Saturday or Tuesday night or whenever we're playing. So
winning the Checker Trade and Peppa Pig is some contrast.
Yeah, that's it. I could have been doing a lot of things Sunday night, but do you know what I mean? Got stuff to do, watching Pepper at 6 a.m. But I wouldn't change it for the world.
Jamal Lowe and Nathan Thompson there speaking to iFollow's Johnny Moore from what sounded like the Hindhead Tunnel. I'm sure it was actually at the training ground on Thursday afternoon. Okay, now it's time to hear from our non-league reporter Henry Deacon, who provides us with an update of all the action taking place involving all of your local Portsmouth sides this weekend.
As Pompey march towards the Wembley Arch on Sunday, there's other crucial fixtures involving the sides in our local area, both the top end and the bottom end of the leagues in the non-league circuit. We kick off with a pivotal game for Havant and Waterlooville tomorrow as they face Sutton United at Gander Green Lane. It's quite fair to say that the Hawks' destiny could hinge on the next 90 minutes in London tomorrow. They are 7 points adrift of Bournemouth and National League safety with just 6 games remaining. Defeat could put them 10 points adrift, however a win could put them within 4 points of safety with 5 games to go. It would certainly be anyone's game then. Gosport Borough host Harrow Borough tomorrow in the Southern League Premier Division. The Borough have just signed Iba Sakaja from Havant and Waterlooville amongst 3 deadline day signings at Privet Park. I'll be hoping that they can string together some chemistry right away against Harrow Borough. Gosport are still inside the league's bottom three. Moneyfields take on Thatcham Town. Fresham a 2-0 defeat to Street last Saturday. The Moneyfields manager Dave Carter bemoaning the decisions of the referee in that defeat. In the Wessex League Premier Division, Fair and Town, fresh from a fantastic win over Portland United, take on Brockenhurst. Baffin's Milton Rovers, they're away to Portland. AFC Porchester face Shaftesbury away from home, whilst Horndean take on Tadley Khalifa. In the first division of the Wessex League, congratulations to Petersfield Town, who have secured safety for another season. They take on East County Victoria at Beatrice Avenue tomorrow, whilst United Services Portsmouth host Andover Town. And that is your local roundup for this week.
Now, it's not just for men's teams who have games this weekend. Pompey are back to playing on a Saturday, but the Pompey women are also in action. Unfortunately, their match doesn't clash with the men's this weekend.
It's an away trip to Gillingham for the Pompey women this weekend. The Blues go into this National League game with added momentum, having beaten Southampton Women's FC on Wednesday evening to lift the Hampshire Cup for the 11th consecutive year. Danielle Rowe rifled the ball home on the edge of the box following a Jay Bradley corner to break the deadlock after just 15 minutes. And then just moments later, the lead was doubled when striker Shannon Albury poked home from close range after a previous shot was parried right into her path. Pompey went into the break with a 3-0 lead. A quick counter-attack just before half time was rounded off by an emphatic finish from long range, courtesy of Jade Bradley. Southampton goalkeeper Izzy Foster done well in the second half to deny the Blues any more goals, but the damage was already done. A rocket from substitute Nat Babister did give the opposition a lifeline on the 68th minute, but Pompey held on for a famous 3-1 victory and a 15th Hampshire Cup title. It was a day to remember for all involved, but especially for Blues keeper Mel Burns, who featured for the first time in 8 months after a string of injuries kept her sidelined. As mentioned, the women will now travel to Gillingham. Much like the men, they will be hit with a sudden reality of a return to league football after a high in winning the cup competition. The game will be played this Sunday at Chatham Town's CJ Dawes Stadium along Maidstone Road in Kent. The postcode for this is ME46ES. That's ME46ES. Kick-off for the game is at the usual time of 2 p.m. with tickets priced at £5 for adults and £1 for under-16s.
There we have it then, the Pompey women in action this Sunday against Gillingham. So if you're not going, if you're not doing anything this Sunday, head over there and support them. As mentioned, £5 for adults and £1 for under-16s. Some tweets coming in. Judd on Twitter says, for me, it has to be beating Tottenham in the semi-finals at Wembley. This is in regard to his favourite Pompey moment. Going in as underdogs with, again, 40,000 Pompey fans creating as much atmosphere as we did was incredible. Another has to be David Norris's equaliser in the dying minutes at St Mary's, limbs all over the place. And our very own Darren Gamblin over here at Express FM says, beating those lot down the road 4-1 and the whole of Pompey singing that song Merson single-handedly destroying Millwall and Pompey versus Torquay in 1979 for my first ever game. 81400 is the number to text. Start with the word Express, followed by your name and message. Email Pompey at expressfm.com or tweet us at ExpressFM. If you haven't done so already, get all of your favourite Pompey memories into us before 7pm this evening. Now, after the break, we'll be hearing once more from the boss, Kenny Jackett. And with Wickham on the horizon, iFollow's Johnny Moore asked him what he thinks the Chairboys will be wanting to achieve this weekend.
Be doing everything they can to, in their world, upset the big boys. You know, they enjoy those games, they thrive on it, and we have to be ready, and it's very, very important.
Find out what he had to say very shortly as the Friday Football Hour reaches its fourth and final part, where myself, Johnny Westwood and Frankie Rudland will also be taking a quick look ahead to tomorrow's match.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the fourth and final part of the Friday Football Hour here on Express FM, driven to you safely this season by Stagecoach Buses. And that reminds me, I can't really finish the show tonight without wishing my mum a happy birthday. She turns 41 today. A not bad day to have that on as well, on the same birthday as Portsmouth Football Club. I have been told some years to get my priorities straight into wishing both of those happy birthday. But no, happy birthday to you, mum. And some texts and tweets coming in to us thick and fast now. Stephen Fratton says, good evening. I think we can go to Wickham full of confidence after our Checker Trade Trophy final success at Wembley. I also believe that with seven games left to go, we can still gain automatic promotion. I always say, until it's mathematically impossible, we have to keep believing. I'm going to Wickham tomorrow and looking forward to what should be a fantastic atmosphere and a great game. I'm also going for a 3-0 Pompey win. Mark on the text says, Millwall away in the FA Cup replay in 1981 and Liverpool in the League Cup 1980, and also Plymouth away in 82. And a final one from Paul on Twitter says, perhaps the demolition derby in April 2005 against that team playing in red and white stripes was my favourite game. We hammered them 4-1, and that Nap chap, who I've lost his tweet now, that Nap chap, as my mum once called him, wasn't happy. And now an email from Graham Price, a good friend of mine and John's over here. Question for Mr. Westwood. With a run into the end of the season upon us and with everything to play for with regards to automatic promotion, how important do you feel, John, that the part the fans play in generating an atmosphere will play?
The fans always play an important part of fan. I mean, they generate the atmosphere and they spur the team on. It gives the team confidence. But that's the strength of Pompey, and they always help out when they're struggling. Pompey fans are best when we're backs against the wall. But they can spur the team on. We've got a team out there who's got some quality. They're determined. They've got all the qualities you need to go up. They're very disciplined. The manager's fantastic. It's going to be an exciting end to the season, if I'm honest. This may sound bizarre, but I'd rather it be like this than if we were running away with it.
Of course. It does make it more exciting. Before we get back to John and Frankie, we're running short of time here on the Football Hour. Let's hear again from a gaffer, Kenny Jackett. Now, it's four wins on the trot now for his side. iFollow's Johnny Moore asked how that's going to affect the remainder of the campaign.
Which is great, and again, we hope that it builds confidence for us going towards the end of the season. If you're looking overall, we have to keep pressure on the top two sides, and as much as that, you know, if there's any slip-ups, we have to be there and ready and waiting. If not, we want that third or fourth spot so that, you know, we can get the second leg of the playoffs at home in Fram Park. So, you know, so there's plenty to go for. And also as well, you know, if we want to be one of those three promoted sides, you know, we'll need to finish the season strong. Some big games ahead. And as we talked about this morning with the players, seven cup finals.
Wickham haven't won in 10 games. You can look at that in two ways, can't you?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I've a lot of respect for what Gareth Ainsworth has done and everybody at Wickham, you know, how well they've done. And you know, Saturday will be a big game, you know, quite rightly for them. You know, I've seen this fixture before, and they'll be doing everything they can to, in their world, upset the big boys. You know, they enjoy those games, they thrive on it, and we have to be ready, and it's very, very important. You know, I have a lot of respect for, you know, what they've achieved this year. There's a really, you know, tight amount of teams down the bottom. I'll all be looking to, you know, get to the point where their, you know, their league status is confirmed, and they can only do that with wins. So a lot of determination coming at us on Saturday, and we will, and we do understand that we have to be ready.
Ben Close came off in the game at Wembley. How is he, and what are your other injury problems?
Now, I thought that, you know, Ben was outstanding, particularly the second half, was half time on. He was very, very good. He came off a cramp. Unfortunately, you know, for him, because, you know, we would have wanted him to sort of complete it. But I did think he had a very good game. We had him down as one of the penalty takers, but luckily enough, in the end, you know, the five lads that did step up all did the job, and we didn't necessarily need him. Anyway, he's been training this week and he's been fine. It was just a cramp situation, and like all of our players, you know, we fully expect them to recover by Saturday.
Spirits will be high.
Yeah, they will. And you know, we'll be looking to, you know, hopefully add Bryn Morris. Two things. The only other injury that we have at the moment is just Luke McGee is still feeling his hand, his, you know, broken hand, very slightly, which is just keeping him out of training today. But we'll be scanning that and seeing. But other than that, you know, we're hopeful Bryn Morris will come back, and then the likes of Cannon, Donoghue, Solomon Otterbaugh will follow shortly in the coming weeks.
Inevitably, with success comes rumours. You've been rumoured recently with maybe a job at QPR. What have you got to say about that?
Yeah, there's some speculation, you know, about many people getting that job. And as I say, it's just exactly that, speculation. When clubs turn over managers, a lot of names get linked, and that's just the case in, you know, in this one.
Are you flattered? Is it off-putting?
It's not something I think about, to be honest with you. I haven't been contacted, and, you know, nor of the club, so it's not something that I concentrate on or think about. You know, it's a high turnover business, and you know, there's a lot of speculation about a lot of things.
Kenny Jackett there strongly denying his speculation link to Queen's Park Rangers and then vacant managerial job there, and also confirming Bryn Morris, who could be back for tomorrow's trip to Wickham. And speaking of that game, if you're travelling up by a car, train or bike or whatever, however you get into the game, then listen carefully, because you're going to need to know some vital information. Tomorrow, the Blues make the relatively short journey to Adams Park to face off with Wickham Wanderers. Match day 40 for Kenny Jackett's side. The ground is located at the end of the road through Sam's Industrial Estate and has a capacity of just over 10,000. Pompey supporters will be in the covered Dream Stand behind one of the goals. Unfortunately, there is no cash point at or near the ground. If you're going by car, then the digits to type into your sat-navs are as follows. Hillbottom Road, High Wickham, postcode HP12 4HJ. That's HP12 4HJ. You will need to leave M40 at junction 4 and follow the signs towards Aylesbury on the A4010. Cross over three small roundabouts into New Road, continuing down the hill to two mini roundabouts at the bottom. Turn sharp left at the first interlane end road and continue onto the next mini roundabout, at which turn right into Hillbottom Road. You'll come to the Adams Park right at the very end of this road. There are parking spaces in the upper tier of the car park at the ground with a charge of £5, but leaving the game after the game can take quite a long time. Parking is also available at several of the units on the industrial estate leading to the ground. Otherwise, there's street parking in the vicinity of the ground. Be warned, as traffic wardens often patrol the area. Blue badge holders should contact Wickham Ticket Office 01494 44118 to see if any of the limited complimentary spaces are available to pre-book. Otherwise, a standard £5 charge applies. Traffic is usually heavy around Adams Park on match day, so we advise to allow plenty of time to get there. If you're planning to go via train, you'll be pleased to know that they run regularly from London Marylebone Station to High Wickham. The journey from Portsmouth to High Wickham will take around about 3.5 hours. High Wickham Station is approximately 2.5 miles from the ground, so either grab a taxi or there is a special foot bus service run by a company called Arriva going from the station, leaving at 1.05 and 2.05 via Eden Bus Station, arriving at Adams Park at around 1.35 and 2.35 respectively. The return journey leaves Adams Park about 20 minutes after the final whistle. As it stands, there are no planned engineering works or industrial action for tomorrow, Saturday, the 6th of April. For up-to-date travel information on the day, follow at PompeyFCCop on Twitter. Now, because of its location, there is a shortage of pubs near the ground.
but the Print Kick Fan Zone marquee at the club is for away fans, selling bottled and canned drinks. There is, however, the White Horse Pub along High Wycombe Road, the A40, postcode HP11, 2LR. They welcome away fans, although it's definitely not a family pub, we are told. There's also the Hourglass Pub on Chapel Lane, postcode HP12, 4BY. That is the nearest to the ground at around about half a mile away. Be careful though, because it can get very full and it doesn't always admit away fans. So that's how to get to Adams Park tomorrow if you're heading to the game between Pompey and Wickham, back in League One action, of course. A tweet in from Judd as well again. He says, not a question, but although he probably won't remember it, it was 2009 when Pompey took on Liverpool Anfield and I had a ticket for the Cop End as my stepdad was a Scouser, and I asked John if he had a spare ticket, in which he replied, let me see what I can do, and then later on came back to me and said, you got a ticket and you can sit next to me for the game and I'll look after you. Great gesture and a real humble fan. That's from Judd on Twitter, helping him out with a ticket to Anfield in 2009. Okay, some score predictions quickly then. Andy Mitchmore going for a 2-1 Pompey win. Barry Clements reckons 2-0. And Emily Lever also thinks it'll be 2-1 to the Blues. Okay, this is around about the time where I get the predictions from my guests in the studio. We're going to start off with you, Frankie. Let's go. Score prediction.
Brett Pittman with the first and Jamal Lowe with the second. 2-0.
2-0 Pompey, Brett Pittman, Jamal Lowe. John?
After previous predictions, I'm very superstitious, so I don't predict. I know I want to predict, but I don't.
That's fair enough. Johnny Westwood, a huge thanks for joining us this evening. Frankie Rudland too. My thanks to you, of course, as well. In terms of predictions, I don't know. I mean, I get it wrong all the time. Alan Knight seems to get it right every single time. I think it's a 3 in a row from him, actually. My prediction on Monday was 2-0 Pompey win, but I think I've changed my mind, actually. I'm going to go for 3-1 Blues win, and I think Jamal Lowe is going to score the first goal, and I think, as rightfully said by one of our tweeters earlier on in the show, perhaps about 23, 24, 25 minutes added time, I don't know, we all know what Wickham are like, but no, 3-1 Pompey win, Jamal Lowe to score that first goal. That's that then. Another successful edition of the Friday Football Hour comes to an end here on 93.7 Express FM. As ever, a huge thanks to you at home or in your cars on the way home from work, the listeners, for joining us, the three of us this evening, and especially to those who got in via in touch via the text, tweets and emails as well. Not forgetting Johnny Westwood, Frankie Rudland, two guests who didn't disappoint me this evening. It's been a fun-filled hour celebrating Pompey's 121st birthday and, of course, looking ahead to tomorrow's clash with Wickham Wanderers. And that's a game you can listen to right here on the only radio station that is passionately Pompey, Express FM. Pompey Live returns tomorrow as normal service resumes and scheduling is also resumed. Join myself, Liam Howes and the legend Alan Knight from 2pm for all the pre-match build-up, half-time analysis and post-match reaction of Pompey's League One trip to Wickham Wanderers. That's if me and Liam are late, of course. We'll be busy stuffing our faces in Nando's before the game. Commentary, of course, from Adams Park comes live from the usual duo of Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham just before 3 o'clock. And then on Monday, you can hear all the reaction from what we hope is yet another Blues win. James Robbins returns for the Monday Football Hour from 6, as well as on Thursday with another Pompey player. And I'm back next Friday to look ahead to Pompey's next fixture, which will be at home to Rochdale. Reginald Rose is next here on Express FM, warming up for Gloria Miller, who's back at 8. That's all then. I'll be back tomorrow for Pompey Live, which leaves me with nothing else to say but a massive happy birthday to Pompey.